And as Chris Morales mentioned, Ramona's here, and we've got a lot going on. If you've been working today or driving around and haven't heard anything, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been suspended for one game for a headbutt last night in a game against Mo Wagner, the former Laker, and the Washington Wizards. That means that Memphis tomorrow has an excellent chance. The Lakers play tomorrow at 10:30. We'll have that game for you, Michael and I, at 10:30 tip in the Orlando bubble. The pregame show starts at 9. After that game, Memphis-Milwaukee at 1 o'clock. Now, earlier in the show, Ramona, you said that you thought Milwaukee would win that game, but Tim Bontemps said that he wouldn't be surprised if Memphis won. We've gotten new information. We forgot that Mike Budenholzer is friends with the Memphis coach. You still think Milwaukee beats Memphis tomorrow at 1 o'clock?
I kind of do. I just think that they want to play well. Like, I know they don't have an incentive, but you can't tell players not to play.
Okay,
like,
so if
whoever you put out there, they're going to play hard.
If that happens, if Milwaukee beats Memphis, also at 1 o'clock tomorrow, Phoenix on this magic carpet ride. Phoenix is 7-0 in the bubble. Tomorrow's their final bubble seeding game. If Phoenix beats Dallas, that means Phoenix would make it into the play-in tournament. But you think Dallas wins that game, right?
Yeah. Well, look, I think Phoenix has been this great story. So I would love to see that them just go 8-0. That'd be awesome. That'd be like exactly why they were added to this. That would be a great story in the NBA. But I don't know. Dallas is just better. I mean, there's a reason why the Suns were not as good all year long, right? Even though they're playing great now, like, Dallas to me is a better team. The only way I think Phoenix wins this is if Dallas sits all their guys. If Dallas rests Doncic and rests Porzingis and just kind of lays down.
Well, if that happens, if you're right and Dallas wins that game, it opens the door for San Antonio. They play at 3:30 tomorrow. If Phoenix and Memphis both lose, San Antonio could get into the play-in tournament if they beat Utah. And then the game that we all think is kind of fait accompli is 6 o'clock tomorrow night, Portland against Brooklyn. If Portland wins that game, they're in. If they lose it, they could be out, but it depends on what happens with those first three. I think most of us are assuming there's no way Damian Lillard, who has been the best player in the bubble, is going to let Portland lose that game. I think that Portland wins it, they get the 8 seed, and then all they have to do is win one game over the weekend, and they're the Lakers' first-round opponent. We think on Tuesday, but we don't have any official announcement of when the Lakers will start the playoffs. The actual playoffs start Monday, could be as early as Monday. Dave McMenamin was just on with us. He says he's penciled in Tuesday night for the Laker opener. He thinks that's when it'll be, but that is not official, and we don't know anything yet, and they won't set it until after the play-in tournament. So that's the latest that's going on with the NBA bubble. Let me tell you what's going on with the Dodgers. Joe Kelly today had his suspension reduced from 8 games to 5 games. I thought 8 games was way too many. I think 5 is still too many. But my guess is that Kelly will accept this, serve it, and be done with it. But the Padres have beaten the Dodgers, Ramona, 2 games in a row at Dodger Stadium. They're going to play again tonight. Yeah. How worried should I be about the Dodgers?
Well, they're not hitting, you know, and I think that's been a general trend.
Especially Bellinger, who is really struggling.
He's really fighting it. And, you know, this happens in spring training. This happens when batters haven't had their normal run-up. I mean, you see, this has kind of been a league-wide trend. So, you know, usually pitchers take a while because they have to build up their innings, but they're a little ahead of the batters who take time to get their swings down. But the Dodgers should be rounding into form eventually. And if you don't have a long runway here, there's only 60 games. So at least they're still in second place. They're not far out of it. They just need to get hot. But I don't think it's time to worry yet, but like, they do need to get their bats going.
And then the other big story that we've been keeping an eye on is this college football mess, where half of the country, including the Pac-12, has said it's unsafe medically to play football, so they've canceled the fall football season. They say there's a possibility they could play in the spring. By the way, when you hear that, do you buy it? Do you think there might be football in the spring?
Not really.
Yeah,
I mean, I just think you're kicking the can down the road, but I think the same reasons that you're, unless we have a vaccine by November, where enough people can take it and it starts to change behaviors and it starts to change the statistics. I just don't see this with a quick resolution.
So we have half the country now, the ACC, which is where Clemson plays, the Big 12, which is where Oklahoma plays, and the SEC, which is where LSU and Alabama play, all say game on. They all say that they're playing. Do you believe, Ramona, that they are all going to play, or do you think they fall in line with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and they pull the plug?
I think they'll have to pull a plug because you're just going to see outbreaks. Like, every single day I read a news story about a school where 200 students have to quarantine because they've found a bunch of positive cases there. I mean, it just seems like inevitable that once teams start playing, the virus is going to spread. I mean, it's a contact sport. There's not a lot of protocols. And like once what we've seen in baseball so far with the Cardinals and the Marlins, once one or two guys get it, it spread like 20 guys have it within a week. So how are you going to contain outbreaks at those schools?
Well, Ramona, the argument is, with the football players at least, that they'd be safer at school because they're all going to be getting tested every day. So no one would ever set foot on the field who had the virus. But as we've seen with baseball, as soon as somebody breaks protocol, that's when it all could come crumbling down. But let's do this. We haven't taken any phone calls today. Mm-hmm. Let's open the phones. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Which conferences are on the right side of this issue? Did the Pac-12 and the Big Ten make the right decision to shut it down? Or ACC, SEC, and the Big 12 moving forward, where they're going to test everybody and play, or do they have it right? What is the right direction to move on this college football issue? We'll let you react next. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Your phone call's next. 710-ESPN. All right, today it's Momo and Ireland. Ramona Shelburne's in for Mace. And we're taking your phone calls at 877-710-ESPN. Wondering and asking this question. Who's on the right side of this college football issue? Is the Pac-12, who's basically decided to shut it down? Or is it the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12, schools like Oklahoma, Alabama, and Clemson, who are moving forward? Here's Dave in San Diego. It says, Dave, you have a Pac-12 player that is a son of yours. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So how do you feel about all this? Do you want him to play, or are you glad they shut it down?
I want him to play.
Why?
Since they've entered the facility, they've had zero players test positive. They have way more protocol than the average student body will have, as well as the fact that if we just look at the data scientifically, these guys are not suffering consequences should they get sick. And I think that there's way more going on here if it's political due to the election this year than what's reality. And I think it's a significant overreaction, and we should be playing football. You have also ramifications down the road should you try to pull it off in spring, where what does that do to the 2021 season once you are playing the 2020 season in 2021?
Dave, first of all, thank you for calling. And I think that's a very valid opinion that for whatever reason, a lot of people are afraid to express that that you've made the Nick Saban argument, the one he's been making for a couple of days, that they're safer on campus than they would be if they stayed at home. But let me ask you this. I'm assuming that your son would go back on campus and live there. Are you worried that not the football-related activity, but just the life of a college student, being around other college students who won't be as protected as football players, could get your son sick?
No. First of all, and I'm not going to tell what school, but the school that he's at has come out and said that every single person who's in campus housing will be in their own room. He's on campus now. He's been practicing. He's in his own room. As well as the fact that the regiment that these athletes have, they have zero time. He has zero time. It's books and ball and that's it. Books, ball, and eat, and rest, and very little social time that's outside of the team, players, and I just don't think that it's an issue at all. And the people who are getting sick, there's less than the flu.
Okay, Dave, we lost you there, but if you can still hear me.
As a country, oh, there you go. Frankly.
All right, Dave, thank you for calling. We lost you a little bit there. You were breaking up, and we appreciate that perspective. Ramona, here's Dave in Carson, a different Dave, who works at USC. And Dave in Carson, you don't think football would work, right?
That's correct, because I work around the stadium, and I've around the school, and none of the students are there are wearing masks. They just don't wear masks. So that's a huge problem, and we control a lot of the people coming in to the campus, and Sorority Row is like three or four streets over north of the campus, and they're all walking around without masks on bikes, skateboards. So I don't think that would work. And then I have one other question, because I come from an insurance background, and we've heard about this Indiana player who got COVID. Now he has a heart problem. What happens if Trevor Lawrence steps onto the field, gets COVID, has a heart condition, goes to the NFL combine, has a physical, and he fails it? Who pays for that?
Well, you know what's interesting about that, and Dave, thank you for bringing that up. How would we be able to tell in the scenario that you just presented that Lawrence got COVID from a football player? If he's back on campus, couldn't he have just as easily picked up COVID at a party, a grocery store, in a classroom? We lost Dave. But Ramona, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, how would we know he got it from football?
Honestly, that's the big question that we've been seeing in the lawsuits that have popped up. There's going to be a lot of class action lawsuits against workplaces, especially places like meatpacking plants, where you've seen a lot of outbreaks, and supermarkets, especially early on before mask wearing was mandated or even encouraged. Did the workplace follow CDC guidelines on how to protect workers? Right. So, you know, generally speaking, we've all lived in a world where, when you get sick, it's sort of common courtesy not to breathe or cough or sneeze on people. But like all the time, people get on planes when they have the flu and they have a cough. And like if you spread that sickness to somebody, it's just sort of something we all accept in the world, is just a, you know, cost of living in the world. The difference being those types of bugs are not fatal. And don't have the same kind of fatality rates that this one does.
But Ramona, that's the same thing that Dave from San Diego said, that he said even if his son would get COVID at his age, that he would probably survive it. And I've known some people that have had COVID and have come out of it fine. But do we really know? Do we really know that I'm not saying I'll grant you, for the sake of our discussion, that the person doesn't, it's not fatal, the person doesn't die, but do we know there's no long-term effects?
Right, we don't. And I think that's where the liability comes in, is we don't know the long-term effects of this. You know, there's a pitcher right now for the Red Sox who has myocarditis. That's this disease,
right,
that they're seeing people who have had COVID get. And, you know, it may change his career. He may not get another contract. He may not be able to play again. He may never get cleared. And so, because we don't know the long term effects of this, it's just a liability nightmare for colleges. And I sympathize with everyone who says, like, amongst young people, this is generally well tolerated. They do well with it. It has been amongst a lot of athletes too. I mean, we've heard a few stories of people who've had COVID. Freddie Freeman had COVID and it hit him really hard. I know from Kenley, you know, Kenley Jansen said it hit him really hard when he had it, for a few days at least, you know, whether it was a week or a few days. You know, our friend Bill Plaschke just wrote a column in the LA Times. Now, he's 61, so he's not in this age cohort that we're talking about, but he said it was really awful for a week and there was really no treatment. And the thing he worries about is, you know, he feels like he's past it, but it may linger in your body for a long time. There's all these there's all this stuff about it kind of reemerging a few months later. It's just in your body and it pops up again. And so that's where I think people who want to err on the side of caution to say, we just don't know what this is going to be like long-term, especially, you know, when it relates to college athletes and younger people, that's where that comes into play.
Here's Jack from East LA, who is a Nebraska fan. Jack, your school wants to play, but its conference has shut it down. What side of that are you on?
So I'm a diehard Nebraska fan, and I am more disappointed in Scott Frost, the way he's acted this last week, even more so than the last 2 years of not making a bowl. This is the most one of the most embarrassing things that's happened to our program, and he looks like a baby, and I side, obviously, on the Pac-12, the Big Ten. The narrative for me that needs to be talked about is, sure, if these student-athletes want to play, I understand it's their right, they should be able to play, but this virus does not affect only them, and there is not a way to bubble these kids. And so, like you were talking about earlier, they're going to do what they do. And the thing is, it is a lot to expect of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds to do things that professional MLB players, like the guys on the Indians and the guys on the Cardinals, the guys on the Marlins, can't do. That's an insane expectation. And all you do is you just extend eligibility a year, you take it off for this year, and nobody loses a year of eligibility.
Did we lose him, Funch? Yeah, and that was a good call, too. Thank you, Jack, for calling. And he makes a good point, Ramona. If you know, I follow a guy on Twitter named Andy Slavitt, who was the...
Yeah, I know him. Yeah,
he was the head of health during President Obama's presidency. And he makes the point all the time that we could shut this down as a country if we wanted to in 4 to 6 weeks. It'd be over if everybody would agree to a full shutdown. That's what other countries have done. But he also makes the point that we're not going to do it because we're Americans and we're too divided on this issue, that people aren't going to go back to basically sheltering at home and not doing anything else. But he said, if we did it, if everybody agreed to shelter at home for 4 to 6 weeks and wore mask at all times, this thing would be over.
I know. That's the thing that gets me, is because I tend to be one of those people who shelters at home and doesn't do much. And, you know, I've started to expand that a little bit just because I realize we're, you know, it's a calculated risk. You know, we're really long term with this thing here because we just won't do it. And it's hard. It feels like we wasted a lot of time where we all sat at home suffering, right? Like we all didn't do much. I feel like it was wasted effort.
And I think that because we won't do it, this thing could drag on for a really long time.
Oh,
I mean, I think that you know, what's next NFL season look like? What's next NBA season look like? Antonio Morales, who covers USC for The Athletic, will join us coming up. We'll get a local perspective on what this means for USC football. 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Today it's Momo in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in, and we've been talking a lot about the decision that came down yesterday that the Pac-12 is canceling football this fall, all fall sports, and of course that affects no one more than USC football and Clay Helton, and Antonio Morales covers USC for The Athletic and is nice enough to join us now. Antonio, my first thought was, Clay Helton's probably going to be relieved because he was on the hot seat and now the hot seat is gone because there's not going to be a season. But then I remembered USC had a lot of talent and a really good team, and this could have been a breakthrough year for them. Do you think Clay did he dodge a bullet here, or did he miss an opportunity?
I think he missed an opportunity. They returned 17 starters from last year. It was an experienced team, a talented one. They have probably three or four guys who would go in the top three rounds of the NFL draft. This next one coming up, And now if they do play in the spring or next year, they probably won't have those guys if the NFL doesn't move the draft back. So I think this was the best chance they have at winning a conference title, because the rest of the Pac-12 is kind of in a state of transition. I think this would have been their best chance, you know, at a conference title within the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, what do they do now? Do they keep training? Do they, you know, just keep working out during the fall? They send the guys home? Like, how is this going to work?
That's what they've kind of been trying to figure out. Right now, the student athletes are going to stay on campus. They went to workouts today, and they're just trying to figure out how to kind of build that off-season schedule now. Clay Helton talked to reporters today, and he said September and October will kind of be strength and conditioning months, try to build that stuff up, and then you kind of get ready from there in terms of hopefully getting ready for the season. So the plan right now is to keep those players on campus, working out, keeping them fed and stuff like that. But, you know, we'll see how kind of the motivation levels, if they can kind of stay up when the players know, you know, there might not be a season until January at the earliest.
We're talking to Antonio Morales from The Athletic, who covers USC. Antonio, a lot of other coaches and players have come out and said, we want to play. We want to play. We disagree with this decision. Ryan Day and Scott Frost and James Franklin have all strongly come out with the "we want to play" mantra, kind of coaches backing the players. Did Clay ever do that at any point in this process?
He hasn't gone out and said, you know, that, you know, they want to play and stuff like that. He talked to reporters today. And, you know, he feels bad that the players won't have the opportunity to play. But he kind of said also that, you know, he has a 17-year-old son who plays high school at Palos Verdes, I think. And, you know, he was thinking about it from that lens and how, you know, it really wouldn't be safe for him to play either. And, you know, so that's kind of what was on his mind. And he tried to kind of approach it from that father's view of if he would want his kid to play or not. And so that's how he puts his outlook.
Mm. What does this do to recruiting? I mean, I don't know that where everything stands high school football-wise around the country. I assume it's probably different from state to state and city to city, just like it is in college football. But how do coaches recruit now? Can you even do in-home visits? Do you even know who to recruit?
Well, it's been kind of, everything's kind of been delayed for a while in terms of, you know, official visits on campus. Obviously, they can't have those. And if there's no season, I don't see how you could have official visits on campus. Are you going to allow a kid and his family to fly in and interact with your staff and players? That, you know, that's something I don't see happening this year at all. So it kind of, that's an issue. And then you have eligibility issues in terms of, you know, are these kids who don't play this year, are they going to get another year back? And how does that affect the 85 scholarship limit? In terms of these kids who are going to be coming in, the early enrollees in January, how do you kind of, are they going to be eligible to play if there's a spring season? And California's pushed back high school football. And I don't know if you guys saw last week, but, you know, the top rated quarterback in the state, Jake Garcia, who's a USC commit, you know, he transferred to Valdosta, Georgia to play his last season of high school football. So it's been, you know, it's changed a lot on the recruiting front.
We're talking to Antonio Morales from The Athletic. He covers USC for the site. And Antonio, I'm looking at, you know, Clay Helton has 3 years left on his contract. But would it be fair to say this would have been a make or break year for him? That even with that time left on his deal, if he hadn't won, I think he would have been in a precarious position. Now that there's no season, I assume, you know, there's not even a talk of a coaching change. But what does this mean for Clay long term? Does it improve the chances he gets to finish his contract?
There's a lot that goes into that. Clay's contract, I think, it went up from 3.2 to 4.6 million in 2018. That was the year that he got the extension from Lynn Swan. And 4.6 million, and that's his contract runs through 2023. So, you know, there's three more years left on it after this one. So, you know, if you're thinking about the buyout, that's probably around 15 million. And for a school that's going to have a shortfall of, $300 to $500 million.
Yeah,
you know, that might not be the best way to kind of spend that money just because the coach isn't winning games. It's kind of a small kind of problem to have in relation to all the other things the school is going to have to face. So I think, you know, Clay is more likely to stick around longer than most expected, just because that extension. You know, you can criticize Lynn Swann all you want for it, but, you know, it was done. And, you know, Clay's agent, Jimmy Sexton, got him a good deal. And, you know, I think that's partly why he stayed this past season. I think Mike Bone started the job relatively late in the process. And then Clay still had a lot of years left on his contract. And then, you know, now, you know, they poured more resources into the football program, recruiting wise and coaching staff wise. They kept some assistants and hired some pretty good ones. But so I do think it was to be a make or break year. But now that's just harder to see, given the financial implications the schools are facing and the length of Helton's contract and how much he's owed.
Wow. Hey, what does this mean for basketball too? By the way, I mean, they canceled or postponed college basketball. Is anybody making noise about that yet, or is it just kicked down the road too?
Yeah. I think, you know, yesterday when you saw the Pac-12 do that, you know, postpone all sports to January 1st, I think that's the first time you started hearing people talk loudly about, you know, the fate of college basketball. So I think, you know, I think that might eliminate non-conference games. I know some people are talking about pushing March Madness back to May and keeping it May Madness this year, and obviously that'll impact the NBA draft. So you know, there's a lot of things that this is kind of affecting and impacting a lot of different elements of college sports and the NBAs and the NFL. So it's there's a lot that's kind of involved with it.
Antonio, last thing for me, you've mentioned a couple of times on this call about the possibility of spring football. Do you believe that that is going to happen? I know at this point it's just part of a plan. You know the moving parts here better than we do. Do you think we're going to see spring football?
It's going to be, it's tough to see right now. I think it can be done, but right now it's just tough to see just because you're talking about the roster limits, the roster sizes. And playing two seasons within one calendar year. I think they would have to kind of shorten both seasons, like an 8-game season in the spring and then like an 8-10-game season in the fall. So I think it could be done, but there are logistical challenges that come along with it in terms of player health and eligibility and all that stuff.
Wow. Every time I think about the implications of this, I feel like we're just not going to have spring ball.
Yeah. It, there's so many,
the more you
parts,
describe, I'm like, why are we bothering? Like,
yeah, it is. Well, Antonio, we will continue reading you in The Athletic, and I hope you have things to report on. I hope that this story continues to evolve, because right now it's looking pretty bleak, but we thank you for coming on and giving us the latest. Appreciate your time.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There's Antonio Morales. And coming up next, game of games. And yes, it is a Ramona game.
Oh, boy.
You never know what to expect. It could be really, really smart or really, really disastrous. Find out next, 710 ESPN. All right, today it is a Ramona Shelburne game. Momo, what do you got?
All right, today we are going to play Momo's version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? All right.
Okay.
I'm going to start you all off with some easy questions. Okay. The first two, I think, are going to be some of the easier ones. Let's get our confidence down. Let's get a couple of wins.
Is
okay.
Is this name is your buzzer or is this?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to go around. Okay. And we're each going to have an answer. And we are going to, you have one option to either use a hint from me or a 50-50 where I eliminate two of the choices.
Got it.
Okay? Each of you has that option. All right? Okay. Our first one, it's going to be real. This should be an easy one, okay? Please don't miss this one, okay? What makeup product makes eyelashes appear longer? Is it A, mascara, B, blush, C, foundation, or D, lipstick?
Now, who is it for?
This is for each of you. Okay?
Wait a minute.
So you each have to give me your answer.
Okay, so we're all answering the same question.
We're all answering the same questions, okay? I'm trying to get everybody some confidence as we start off here.
All right, I'll
this
go
is a $100 question. These are real questions that were on the show.
Okay. A, mascara.
All right, Lindsay?
Mascara.
Okay, Funch?
Mascara.
All right, you're all right. Okay, everybody feel good with their $100 question?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Moving on to something a little harder. The 1995 movie, The Usual Suspects, takes its title from a famous line in what movie? Is it A, Casablanca, B, The Godfather, C, Cool Hand Luke, or D, North by Northwest?
All right, Lindsay, you go first this time.
I have no idea, so I'm going to guess B.
Or you can do okay. your things.
Yeah, you can do 50-50 or ask Momo for a hint.
Well, then everyone else would have the hint.
But you have
50-50.
To say, that's you smart.
You have to figure that in. So what are you going with, Lindsay?
So I'm just going to go with B.
Which is what?
The Godfather.
Godfather.
Okay. Funch.
What are your choices again?
Casablanca, The Godfather, Cool Hand Luke, or North by Northwest?
Casablanca.
John?
He's right. It's Casablanca.
Ireland Funch, you are both correct. The answer is Casablanca. You're on the board.
All right, okay? So is Lindsay out or can she keep going?
No, no, you keep going. Okay. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. Okay. In the game of chess, which of these pieces is never able to move diagonally? A pawn, a king, a queen, or a rook?
Funch is first. Yeah.
I don't know how to play chess, so I'm just going to say queen.
All right. Lindsay? I mean, John?
It's me?
Yeah.
Rook.
All right, Lindsay, you can use one of your lifelines here.
My 50-50.
Okay, it is not a pawn or a queen.
Okay, I'm also going to guess rook.
Lindsay, John, you are correct. It is a rook. That was good use of the 50-50 right there because she got her hint there.
Okay.
Okay, now this was a $32,000 question, all right? What rock group is named after a gym teacher who taught at the original band members' high school? A, The Byrds, B, Lynyrd Skynyrd, C, Jefferson Airplane, or B, Pink Floyd? I think this one is to John.
This is hard.
$32,000 question.
I think it is Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay, Lindsay?
I think that John's usually pretty smart about these things, so I'm just going to steal his answer and say Lynyrd Skynyrd too.
Okay. Funch?
Skynyrd.
That is correct. You guys are all good. It is Lynyrd Skynyrd. How did you guys all know that one?
I didn't. That was a band I listened to a lot in high school. You know, they were all, most of them were killed in a plane crash.
Oh, that's a sad note. Okay.
Yeah. So I know a little bit about them.
Okay. So I'm going to do another easy one. Okay. We're going to do another $100 question. Okay. How many continents are there in the world? 1, 3, 7, or 8?
It's me, right? I start? Yep. 7.
Okay. Funch?
7.
John?
7.
Yeah, you're all right. Okay, you all get the easy ones. this might be, right? I know. Well, I thought somebody would say 8.
This is living up to a Ramona game.
I know. I thought I was gonna. This is actually my last question. It's a $1 million question, so I don't know if it's gonna be enough drama now.
Okay.
All right. This is $1 million question.
Well, what's the scores? Let's see, John.
Let's see the scores. It's definitely a Ramona game. I thought this was gonna be better.
Put that on a loop, Fudge. I thought this was going to be better.
I was like, I got to do some easy ones and some hard ones, and then a medium
one.
When
do the hard ones come?
This is the hard one. We're building up to it.
All right. What do you got?
All right. What's the score?
Well, I've got them all. How many have you asked?
I think 5.
All right. I think I have 5, and Lindsay and Fudge have 4.
All right. Whoever gets this wins.
Okay.
This is a million dollar question.
Well thought out.
Great game, Momo. All right. Yeah. The U.S. icon, Uncle Sam, was based on Samuel Wilson, who worked during the War of 1812 as what? A, meat inspector, B, mail deliverer, C, a historian, or D, a weapons mechanic? Remember, you still have your lifelines.
All right, so I'm in first, so I have to go first,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Give them to me again.
Meat inspector, mail deliverer, historian, or weapons mechanic?
I thought Uncle Sam was a meat packer, so would that be meat inspector? I guess so.
I will allow that.
Give me the one that has to do with meat.
Okay. Mail deliverer, historian, or weapons mechanic? Lindsay's next.
I'm going to guess the meat one, because John seems to know what he's talking about. Once again, you got to steal his answer. The meat guy.
All right, Fudge.
I'll go different. I'll go mail delivery guy, since I see him in a mail office all the time, or post office all the time.
John and Lindsay are right. Okay. John wins.
I just want to say, Lindsay.
Damn, I thought that was going to be better.
Lindsay, honest answer. Since we started Game of Games, is that not the worst game we've ever played?
Oh, it's up there.
Fudge, what do you think? If we ever played
a
worse
show,
game,
why wouldn't that be a good game?
I'm sorry, Momo. That's the worst one we've ever had.
I
love you, but that's the worst one.
I thought I tried. We should have like writing seminar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Ramona, what you didn't think out was how you executed it. You should have had individual questions. Each of us.
Yeah.
And then you could either move on, and because Lindsay just Lindsay copied all my answers.
Not all of them, just two of them.
She made
just
a good point. She made a good point that if she would have used her 50-50, it would have given the 50-50 to everyone else.
Yeah, it was game design.
Yes.
It wasn't the idea, it was game design. I was like, who wants to be a millionaire? That sounds like a good game to play.
So
and we'll do it with the 50-50s.
Well, you could take the feedback and recreate it for a future episode.
Just not on this show.
I mean, I could take the feedback and decide that sucked and maybe we shouldn't do that again.
I've received only one and only one tweet on this from Brian at the funny Brian.
Amazing.
Ireland, this game is cringeworthy. Brian, you are correct.
It was a great idea, Momo. It was just a little problem.
The execution
with
the execution.
Was,
yeah, yeah. Flawed execution.
Ramona, you are so lucky that Mason was not here for this because he would never let you hear the end of it.
I'm pretty sure that he will hear about this.
Yeah, that game was so bad that I almost think it was conceived by Alan Sliwa. Who will join us next. For Sliwa at Sunset. My final one with him. Sliwa next, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today it is Momo Ireland and Alan Sliwa. Ramona's in for Mace. Sliwa, did you by chance hear Ramona's game today in Game of Games?
Ramona, so I'm not exactly known for being the best at these games as well. So
yeah,
I was observing, I was listening, and I was like, this is as good as it gets. That's where you know my level is with the games.
Sliwa, have you ever had a game? You've had some bad ones, but have you ever had a game that bad?
Okay, so I think, Ramona, I wouldn't go away from the game. I would listen to their feedback and come back with some adjustments because I first tried doing some Family Feud, and in the beginning, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, and I think it gained a little bit of traction, so you might be onto something. Might have to give it another shot.
Well, I think it's like when you're in the middle of a comedy set. Have you ever been on stage or you're doing like a speech, and you're just completely bombing, and the question is there anything you can do now to finish out this set that's going to save it? right?
That or
does,
is
the,
awesome.
Does the audience just hate you and you should just say, all right, everybody, thanks for your time, right? Like I in the middle of that, I kind of was thinking,
no, you
all
played
right,
it through. You played
yeah,
it through.
For
you, you killed it at both my roast and Mason's roast. Yeah. You like, you had knocked it out of the park both times, but that game of games was sorely lacking.
It was a nice idea, poorly executed.
Okay, so Ramona, I got last segment, you know, next segment, I have some Family Feud. So if you guys want to do some Family Feud,
yes!
We can do that.
My favorite.
Yeah, okay. Lindsay likes some Family Feud.
As long as you actually use the questions that poll people on planet Earth,
yes.
You know, because sometimes we've had some weird...
I had one session, didn't go well.
Yeah, what's the first thing you do when you wake up and brushing your teeth wasn't on the list?
Wasn't on the top 10.
Yeah, it did not help my reputation.
All right, so Sliwa, we're going to get a little more clarity as to who the Lakers are going to play tomorrow when 8 games are being played tomorrow in the bubble. So... 2 teams are going to be in this play-in tournament this weekend, and the Lakers are going to play the winner of the play-in tournament. The first game tomorrow that we're watching is Memphis against Milwaukee without Giannis, who was suspended today for a headbutt. Who wins that game, Memphis and Milwaukee?
Still think Milwaukee. Still think Milwaukee. And Memphis, I think, gave nobody any confidence that they'd win that game. And if that happens, if Memphis loses and the Bucks obviously take care of business tomorrow, John, you know what I'm praying for in this Saturday-Sunday finale to figure out who's going to be in that that number 8 seed against the Lakers. I'd love nothing more to see Devin Booker, Damian Lillard, see what happens. Of course, Portland would have the edge because they only have to win one.
Alan, there is one way that could get reversed. So Dallas plays Phoenix tomorrow. Do you think Phoenix wins that game? Ramona thinks Dallas wins that game.
So it was kind of weird yesterday. I was listening to the Tim Bontemps interview. So did Dallas have something to play for yesterday? Is that what Tim was trying to say?
Yeah, they could have thrown themselves into the mix for 4, 5, 6,
that's right.
7.
That's right. And I'm sure they had, you know, obviously a lot of motivation just to try and avoid the Clippers in the first round. If they have nothing to play for, I kind of think Phoenix takes that game.
Okay, so if Phoenix wins, then Brooklyn and Portland play at 6 o'clock. If Portland wins, they're the 8. If Brooklyn wins, Phoenix is the 8.
Unbelievable. By the way, John, when you guys started the show, just listening to you and your excitement of a number 8, number 9 play-in tournament, and I think that's how a lot of fans feel right now, it is pretty remarkable that we are towards the end of this, you know, regular season restart, and that there is so much interest and conversation in who's going to play potentially on Saturday and you know, obviously on Sunday as well. It just kind of tells this story that I didn't think that we'd be coming into this bubble and this would be the conversation, but it's been the most exciting part so far.
Yeah, I think that's why, Ramona, they're going to bring it back. Even next year, if we don't have a COVID situation, why wouldn't you try and involve? Don't you think it's good to, like, for the foreseeable future to just keep this thing
moving?
I
do, too. I think it's great. And I think, you know, look, none of us know what next year is going to look like. It might be a bunch of regional bubbles. We might have, like, that European South tournament in the middle of the year and then another one at the end. I mean, everything is kind of on the table here. And I think this year, I remember Michael Jordan, the owner in Charlotte, he was pretty adamant that the league had to do as much as they could to keep these games as close to the regular playoff format as possible to keep the integrity, like no gimmicks. Like he didn't like the World Cup style soccer tournament style, right? And I agreed with that at the time because everyone had played the year under these rules, under the same traditional rules. So like you should finish out the year like that. But if you start a whole new year with different rules, with a different set of expectations, I think you can put a whole bunch of new ideas on the table. And then that's interesting and exciting.
And that's not one, it doesn't sound like, Ramona, that is gimmicky, right? I mean, John and I were, you know, joking around. I know Michael wasn't joking around, but during the pregame show, John was mentioning to me a couple games back that Michael wants a 4-point shot. Right,
and what he does, he went to 4-point line,
and the first thing that came to my mind is like, that's kind of gimmicky. I don't feel this play-in tournament or having a couple of these teams that are right on the bubble competing for that final spot. I don't think that takes away from the integrity, if that's what you're referring to of what Michael was saying.
Yeah, I don't think it does. I think this one is fine because it you know, it's a little like just adding a ninth team to the playoffs. It's like now instead of just the race for the eighth seed, which usually plays out over the last few games anyway, now you're kind of have a race for nine. So you're expanding the number of teams that are trying to get into the last two spots, and then you let them play it out, and that's just another fun, exciting game. So I you know, there are other years where this would not be exciting. Like in the Eastern Conference, this was not exciting. Mm-hmm. Like the you know, Washington got in and they sucked and there was no competition, and so there wasn't really any reason to have an 8-9 game. Right, so it could have turned out very differently, but because you had enough teams that were this closely bunched, it's been great.
Ramona, how funny is this? If you look at the Eastern Conference standings, Charlotte is actually in front of Washington. Charlotte didn't go to the tournament.
Wow.
But that's how bad, wow, Washington was, that a team that wasn't invited is actually closer to the Brooklyn Nets and Orlando Magic than Washington was.
Oh.
Hey John, I wanted to ask you on, we were pretty much calling play by play yesterday for that Portland game, the 61-point performance for Dame. You know, I Lakers have been doing this. Yesterday was an off day for them, but they'll have opportunities for media to ask questions to two players, typically two players and head coach Frank Vogel. And earlier today, I asked Markieff, so many of the questions were revolved around Portland and how Damian Lillard's doing and everything else, and if they're watching these seeding games. And I asked Markieff if it could be, can he take some positives playing a team like the Blazers in the first round, because they are, you know, obviously playing at such a high level, you don't really have that much luxury to kick back and say, okay, it's just the first round, we're the number one seed. He thought there could be some advantages there. Do either of you think Portland is dangerous enough to actually beat the Lakers in a 7-game set, or is all the chatter around Portland is they would just give the Lakers a run for their money, but do you guys believe they actually would have a shot against the Lakers?
I think anybody's got a shot against anybody. I would pick the Lakers in that series, but because of Lillard, would I be absolutely stunned if Portland came out of that? No. I mean, but Lillard's that good. Lillard might be the best 6-foot-tall player the league has seen since Tiny Archibald. I mean, he's that good.
So you know who I keep flashing on when we talk about Dame, and it's, they have different games obviously, but in terms of the following that they have built by the way they play and the respect they've earned, is Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, Allen is beloved by players now, and like when you talk about players who everyone respects from the, sure, older generation, everybody loves AI because he was seen as just this heart of a champion competitor. It didn't matter that he was, what was he, 6'1", 6'2"? You know, very different game, obviously, than Dame. Like, Dame is more of a really good shooter and point guard, but he's not
very loyal.
Loyal. So I think Dame's kind of building that type of brand for himself.
Yeah, and, you know, Lillard's not known as a great defensive guard, but everything he does on offense is ridiculous. I mean, just ridiculous. You can't guard him.
Who would have, and John, who would have a tougher road to an NBA championship? If Portland ends up at number 8, and the way it looks like Houston's probably going to be around that 4 or 5, so you'd face the Rockets in the second round, Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, you get to the finals, you're facing Milwaukee or Toronto, you know, most likely. I don't think anybody has a tougher road than the Lakers, and that's not even including, you know, of course, how much it hurts them not having home court. They played for that number 1 seed, Avery Bradley out. This is going to be a tough run for the Lakers, and you know, we'll find out if they have that ability to just switch the lights on, as most people are saying.
Well, everybody's acting like the Lakers didn't win all these games during the regular season because they haven't looked great in the bubble. 52-18 is 52-18. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, they earned that number one record. So I'd still favor them in any series. But Portland is not a typical 8 seed, I'll tell you that.
You know, it's interesting. It does feel like two different seasons. Like it was so long ago. It's not that it doesn't count. It's just that it was so long ago. It's like a real break from this reality now. It's a whole different ballgame when you don't have home court advantage, when everybody's on an equal playing field. It's a matter about how.
And Ramona, here's what nobody's talking about. The Lakers were an excellent road team, maybe the best Laker road team in 3 decades.
Yeah.
I mean, they at one point this year, they had a 14-game road winning streak in the conference. I mean, it was, and so, when you took away home court, that hurt the Lakers because they were going to get most of their games at Staples Center. But also, when they would go into your place, they were probably going to take at least one game. So it makes me nervous. Hey, I'm going to change subjects on you guys a little bit. I meant to bring this up earlier, Ramona, but we never got to it. The NBA announced today that this week they tested 342 players for COVID. 342. Zero returned confirmed positive. Zero. I know they're in a bubble, but does this give hope to other sports?
Yeah.
342 and zero positive tests. I mean, and these guys are getting tested every day. Does that give hope to baseball and football? Or because baseball and football aren't in a bubble, are they not comparable?
I think they're not comparable. I think it gives hope to sports that choose to do a bubble. And I know this is going to get this is personally, I think this is gaining a lot of traction and will probably happen. But in baseball, there's been increasing talk about doing a postseason bubble.
That's right.
Because nobody wants to see a playoff series derailed by somebody going out to dinner and getting COVID. Or what, like what's happened to the Cardinals, what's happened to the Marlins. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody wants to see that happen in the postseason. Plus, they can't afford it. They don't have the time in the schedule to just push things back if a team comes down with an outbreak, if something like that happens. And so I think there's going to be, there's 16 teams that are going to make the playoffs in baseball this year. I think there is a real good reason to have a bubble, if not for the first round, then definitely for the second, third round.
It's interesting, Ramona, because, by the way, that's the key. The key is you can't – what St. Louis and Miami, who have played probably half the amount of games that the Dodgers have or, you know, somewhere around there, you're right, postseason starts, what are you going to do? You're going to have 16 teams in a tournament. Two of them are going to hang out for a week. And, you know, it obviously can't happen. But the concept of – it's an interesting story because they want to replicate a little bit what the NHL is doing, their bubble in Canada, where they're, you know, they have multiple hubs. That's kind of the idea and the concept. And 16 teams you start off, they're only I think those are, what'd they say, those are three game sets? Is the first round three game sets?
No, 4 out of 7.
The first round for baseball?
Oh, baseball is 3 out of 5. You're right.
Okay, yeah, so it's not going to take long to get to the second round and then go to some of these other hubs. So I think there is, John, something to learn from what the NBA has done and how successful they've been. And maybe Major League Baseball doesn't do it throughout, but maybe they do it where there's $1 billion on the line, which is going to happen come postseason. That's what's at stake for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, which is why if two of your guys, like those Cleveland Indian guys, go AWOL, it just puts the whole thing in jeopardy. So it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, we'll see how baseball works out. I don't know how they're going to get all the games in. That's going to be, you know, like the Cardinals now have to play 55 games in 50 days or something like that. It's like really ridiculous. All right, coming up next, Sliwa claims he has Family Feud. It cannot be worse than what Ramona did in Game of Game.
You never know.
Could it be? You'll find out next, coming up. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, Crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great Cross Trade service for our 710 ESPN listeners. $99 drain cleaning. You just got to go to powerproplumbing.com.
All right, so if you listen to the show, you know that every once in a while, Alan Sliwa writes a Family Feud game. And allows the four of us to compete in it. Now, I'm trying to think of what the best teams would be.
I think
be.
I got it.
I think it would be boys against girls.
I agree.
Because Lindsay and I are the two best players.
Yeah, yes. I think this is going to be a good way to mix it up.
Okay, so we'll put me and Ramona, Funchess and I against Lindsay and Ramona.
Okay, Funch, we got some Family Feud music there. There we go. Okay, Ramona, just so you know, your name is your buzzer. You'll go up first against John,
So we're standing at the front, Ramona, with like our hands on the plunger. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, cool.
All right, I'll ask a question, and here we go. All right, first question. Name something that's a guaranteed party starter.
John.
A joke. Yeah, that's an X. Not on there.
Momo.
Ramona.
Alcohol.
The number one answer on the board. 50 of the 100. Okay, so Ramona, Lindsay, do you guys want to play it or pass?
Like to try to get more games?
I said, considering how bad John did with his first answer, I think we should pass it to them and let them try and guess.
Okay, so it's...
Oh, big mistake.
It's going to Funches and it's going to John. There's...
What does John know about parties?
Four answers left. Good. Only five on the board. One's already off. Okay, you guys go.
John, right. Definitely music.
All right, I'm with you, Funch. I think it's a good one.
Okay, music / karaoke, the number two answer on the board. Three to go.
All right, now how many... are there total, Alan?
Three more left, five total.
All right, Funch, what else you think?
Good food?
Yeah, let's try it. Why not?
Okay, food, number four on the board.
Okay.
So you guys got three of the five. Name something that's a guaranteed party starter.
Funch, do you think karaoke is up
no,
there?
No, we already did that.
Part of music?
Yeah, part of music, yeah.
Okay, name something that's a guaranteed party starter. What do you think? What else could be?
Need an answer. Get two strikes.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else it would be. I don't think we have.
Give him a strike.
I think we gotta hand it over to him.
Okay, that's one strike. You guys want 15 seconds for the next one?
No, that's two strikes, isn't it? Didn't we miss it?
That's one strike.
Okay. What about weed?
Oh yeah.
Punch?
Yeah. Recreational drugs.
Drugs? Not on the top five. Not on the top five.
Oh.
That's the parties you guys going to.
It's a good guess right there. It's a good guess. All right, that's two strikes right there. It goes over to Ramona and goes over to Lindsay. Name something that's a guaranteed party starter. Two more left in the top five.
Lindsay,
so what we got? Number one is alcohol, number two is music.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And then food was number four.
Okay.
So I have Lindsay, I had an idea. Maybe it could be like a clown.
I think it should be like a person, like
band,
the guests, like a guest of honor of some kind.
DJ? What about a DJ?
What about a game? Something. What about a game? Like a party? Like there's a game. Like we're gonna play flip cup, or we're gonna play.
All right, let's go with that.
That's
let's
the
go
final
with that.
Answer.
Yeah, let's go with game. Let's go with game.
Game. Number five on the board.
Nice job, Lindsay.
Way to pull that one out. Okay, nice. So it's 1-0 right now. Let's move on to the next question.
Wait, Funches. I want to know what the last one on the list was, by the way.
Last one on the list was dancing.
Dancing!
Oh,
dancing.
That
yeah, dancing
like
should have been...
Can I go with music?
That should... No, separate.
No.
Separate that.
All right, Funch.
Okay.
Get control of the board for
it's Funches and it's Lindsay. Here we go. 100 women were surveyed. When dating... Name something a man has to tell you he has.
Funch.
Lindsay.
Funches.
A job.
Job number two on the board. Lindsay, you got a chance to steal it here if you get the number one.
Is it?
When dating, name something a man has to tell you he has. 100 women were surveyed.
A car.
Car is not on the list. All right, it goes to...
Lindsay, you materialistic jerk.
Yeah.
Transportation.
All right. It goes to Funches and it goes to John.
All right. So how many are there, Sliwa?
There's five total.
I think we give it to them, Funch.
Okay.
Based on Lindsay's answer, I don't think they can come up with
passing on to women.
All right, it's passed on.
Lindsay, the correct answer is money. Okay.
That's what I was gonna say, but I didn't want to sound materialistic. But yeah,
I'll say it.
Money's gotta be on there.
We're gonna go with money.
Money. Number five on the list. So you got two of the five so far.
Okay, he has to tell... When you're on a first date, he has to tell you what he has?
When dating, name something a man has to tell you he has.
What about a sense of humor?
No, a house. Some place to live.
A place to live would be nice, yeah.
Yeah, house, some place to live.
House, some place to live is not on
the board. Oh, come on!
Keep going. Here we go. Let's keep this moving. We got one strike.
All right. What
so
do you
far,
want to
you
say
guys
the next
have
one?
Two of the five.
How about friends?
I think a sense of humor is good.
Okay, we'll go humor. Okay, I'll go with you on that. I was
or
wrong.
Personality or humor.
Sense of humor.
All right. Sense of humor is the final answer, and that is not on the board.
Okay. Oh God.
Let me repeat this. Let me make sure I repeat this. 100 women were surveyed when dating. Name something a man has to tell you he has. All right.
Something a man tells you he has to have?
Has to tell you.
Read one more time.
Name something a man has to tell you he has.
I think we misconstrued the question.
I know.
Funchway, are we up now?
Yeah, we're up.
You guys are up.
So you guys get this? We move on to round three.
A good relationship with your parents? A pet?
Has to tell you he has.
Good so, credit?
No, they already
number one answer still on the board, by the way.
I thought it was money.
No, money was five.
Five.
Women are liars.
Yeah.
The women serving are liars.
All right, good. Let's just say good relationship with his family. Fine.
Okay.
Let's try that.
All right, good relationship with their family. Not on the list. Now I don't like the question.
What?
I don't like the question. Okay, when I give you guys the answers, you guys are going to tell me if this makes sense or it doesn't.
Yeah.
So 100 women surveyed. When dating, name something a man has to tell you he has.
Yeah.
Kids, the number one answer.
Ah!
Oh,
yeah. So it's. Oh,
I see. Like,
oh,
yeah,
I get it.
We didn't
get it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. We
something about a criminal record.
Right,
yeah, a criminal record. Is that on the list?
Throw that one out and give us one more.
All right, last one. Last one.
Whoever gets this wins it.
Right. What kind of tasks do we do now? Or I'm sorry, wait. It's
me, it's Ramona.
Yeah, that's right. It's John and Ramona. Okay. What kind of tasks do we do that we? What kind of tasks do we handle online that we didn't use 10 years ago?
Momo.
Go ahead, Ramona.
Shopping.
Shopping, number three on the board.
What?
John?
Mail, like email.
Email, number four on the board. Three
so
and four off the board.
We can choose to play it.
Yep.
You want to play it, Lindsay? Let's play it. Yeah.
Sorry about my
choose
dog.
Choose to do now that we...
Tasks that you guys handle now online that we didn't do 10 years ago.
Okay, pay bills.
Is that what you guys
going 100%.
Yes. Yeah,
pay bills.
Number two on the list.
All right.
Only thing left is one and five.
One and five that we do
online.
What
about something with like photos?
How about dating? Dating.
Dating. Dating. Dating. Yeah.
Dating. Good answer. It's strike number one. Not on the list.
Oh, come on.
Tasks.
Yeah, you're right. Social media. Oh, tasks.
Tasks we do that we handle online that we didn't do 10 years ago.
How about
what about like ordering food?
Is ordering
same?
Food.
Or is that the same as grocery shopping?
I think that's the same as shopping.
Okay. Jeez, what do we do online?
Tasks we handle online.
Meetings.
How okay.
About work meetings. Meetings.
Final
work
answer.
Business?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Funch, John, you got a chance to steal.
All right.
Number one and number five left on the board.
Funch, what do you think?
Tasks that we handle
right,
online.
We paid
that we
our bills
use.
Already.
All right, now here's what I think. Banking, like your.
Oh
bank,
yeah, that's a good one. That's a real good
banking.
One.
Banking. All right, Sleo, we're going banking.
Banking, the number one answer on the board.
Booyah!
Wait a minute. For you to say in 2010 you weren't banking online, I think this might be a little bit old of a survey.
Banking, paying bills, shopping, emailing, and doing taxes was number five.
Oh, taxes is good.
And I get the dating thing. I would have thought that was on there too. But
yeah,
most
or
of these,
social media, that would have been a good one too.
But tasks, like tasks you
tasks.
Handle online.
All right.
It's a hollow victory, Funch, because that second abomination of a question that Sliwa came up
with.
It doesn't matter. It's a victory.
I screwed up that one. I screwed up the second one.
Yeah, but we'll take it. Sliwa, what do you got coming up tonight?
Tonight, Kirk and I will do the show. Dylan Hernandez will join and... Get just into this NBA stuff. I think everybody is so interested. We're going to have games not just tonight, but obviously, John, tomorrow morning we'll talk or we'll get a chance to call the Lakers game and see all these other games. So we'll focus on baseball. We'll focus on the NBA.
Now, after the game tomorrow.
Oh, and JB Long coming on.
Oh, good. After the game tomorrow, I'm hopping on a plane to go to Idaho to see my family. Ramona, can you promise me that you will not play another one of those game of games like you did today?
Well, I can't promise because I thought that was going to be good, and it just totally
bombed.
I'll
give the final verdict to Dan, who tweeted me, Ireland, that version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire made me want to lose money. That's the final verdict on your game. All right. Thanks, Ramona, for doing this. Sliwa is next, 710 ESPN.